to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
I believe as human beings, as a superpower, we have an obligation to stop genocide that's possibly to happen in Libya. Also, we have an obligation to make this world a better place by ending dictators, mostly in Africa and the Middle East, because they distort free market and the principle of justice. So I think we have an overall obligation as human beings to deploy. In the absence of that, I think the world will turn into chaotic. It will cost us more.
There's Alan, a talk radio person from Dallas, who says that the U.S. has an obligation to get involved in Libya. That's where we start. Libya is the focus at the beginning of this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. Over on Fox, Bill Hemmer talked to Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, who doesn't like the way the president is handling the situation in Libya one bit.
What's the problem going after Gaddafi?
Well, here it is, and I'm going to read this, and then I'll tell you who said it. The president does not have power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation. Now, that was Barack Obama who said that on December the 20th, 2007. We've got to be very sure here that we follow the Constitution, and President Obama didn't do that.
Well, even if Congress came back and voted on it, would it pass?
And, you know, it's after the fact now. I mean, there's a serious matter here that relates to the president going ahead, ordering a strike against Libya, and not involving the Congress. And your guests have talked about the cost. We're probably into this for $500 million already. And then you think about there's no imminent threat. There's no end game. Are they still after regime change? We could be strengthening Islamic extremists who could be setting up camp in eastern Libya. There are people who want to divide that nation. This is a nightmare.
Well, you know, if the bloodshed did happen, let's say the massacre that some predicted took place, the United States would have significant blood on its hands. Is that justifiable enough for you?
Well, you know, when you talk about blood on our hands, there's blood being shed all over the world, and we can't control it. We cannot be the policemen of the world. As tragic as the situations are across the world, the United States cannot afford, nor do we have the authority, to go and intervene. Now, you look at Bahrain and Yemen. Excuse me. I mean, there's things happening there that somebody who wanted to talk about a humanitarian war could try to use that principle to intervene. But no, in this case, though, the president had to go back to Congress. He didn't do that. He went ahead anyway without having a vote.
Well, you know the history of Muammar Gaddafi, and you know what a threat he has posed to the United States in the past. And we are told that had we not acted now, a massacre would take place in Benghazi.
Now that, I mean, that's horrible, but there's no actual or imminent threat to the United States. He should have come to Congress. If this is so grave, Congress was still in session. The president could have said, wait, don't go home. I've got to talk to you about what's happening here. I may need your approval. This is about the Constitution. And if we don't abide by our Constitution, everything falls apart here. This is about the Constitution. It's not about whether you like President Obama or not. I like President Obama, but I love the Constitution.
Well, the other thing that's going on right now is all the matters in our own country. You know, when it comes to cutting the debt and the deficit and the debates that you and I have had on this program for months, if not years ongoing.
Well, that's certainly something that is going to be discussed by many members of Congress. Look, if we don't have enough money to be able to have home heating in some parts of our nation, if we don't have enough money for education and health programs or for creating jobs, how is it we have endless amounts of money for war? I mean, I've raised this question over and over and will continue to do so, but I want to make it very clear that my objections about this start right with the Constitution. Under Article 1, Section 8, only Congress has the power to take this nation into war unless there's an actual or imminent threat to the United States in which the president doesn't have time to consult with Congress.
Coming up, some journalists are wondering why the news media seems fine with our involvement in the no-fly zone, while one former presidential candidate wants Mr. Obama tried for war crimes. That when the countdown continues.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-601-5469. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 75% on their term life insurance. See how much we could save you. It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-601-5469. That's 1-800-601-5469. 1-800-601-5469.
Which brings us to the final round. If you are what you eat, then what am I?
Pasta puttanesca.
Correct. Mary had a little lamb. What was its name?
Lamar?
Correct.
Thank you.
What can you now watch instantly with Netflix?
Oh, unlimited TV episodes?
Correct.
Watch
unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix.
See terms of use.
Do you crave eggs? I do. Eggs are an incredible way to start your day. You've always heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? But a breakfast that contains eggs helps you stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. And here's why. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories. And an average of just 15 cents apiece, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. From America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for their versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without even leaving your kitchen by visiting the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? You know, I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying...
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown program. I'm Doug Steffen on CNN. Howard Kurtz talked to a panel of journalists, including Rome Hartman from the BBC, a veteran NBC correspondent Fred Francis, and former Pentagon correspondent Jamie McIntyre, about how quickly the news media has seemed to embrace our involvement in Libya.
The media get excited by war. The journalistic adrenaline starts pumping as we talk about warships and warplanes and cruise missiles. We put up the maps and we have the retired generals on. And sometimes something is lost in that initial excitement. It reminds me of 8 years ago, this very weekend, when shock and awe was rained down upon Baghdad and the media utterly failed to ask acceptable questions. So I looked at my New York Times this morning, went through all the sections. I looked at my Washington Post this morning, I looked through all the sections. Didn't see any skeptical articles, columns, editorials about this no-fly zone decision. Two fly newspapers don't see the skeptical questions. What if there's a long-term stalemate here? What if this goes on and on? What if there are American casualties? Do you stop this operation with Gaddafi still in power? These are the questions I think we need to be asking. Where are the skeptical questions?
Well, I think that it's natural, as you suggested, that at the very outset of something, the operational questions do take precedence. I think that it's not our job to make policy or, frankly, to comment on policy.
But it is our job to question
policy. No question about that.
And everybody in the media said this wouldn't happen again. We screwed up on Iraq. We got sucked in a rush to war. And I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad decision. Gaddafi is an odious fellow.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be doing more challenging.
Well, the key issue, I think, is I think the media is exhausted. Frankly, in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, with what happened starting in Cairo, over to Japan, now back to Libya. I think there's an exhaustion going on, and not enough questions have been asked.
But not too exhausted to be on the air 24 hours a day.
But shallow coverage. In fact, shallow coverage. You know, we didn't pay enough attention to John Brennan, the president's counterterrorism chief this week, when he said, and he was reluctant to advise the president to go to war here. Brennan said this week, we don't know who these rebels are. We don't know what we're getting.
This is not heavy lifting. I mean, you know, Howie, I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's this tendency in the initial stages to debate whether it's 110 or 112 cruise missiles. But the real questions that were sort of absent from a lot of the coverage was, what is this no-fly zone expected to accomplish? Is it too little, too late? How do you have a no-fly zone when you really have to protect rebels on the ground? You know, you heard the Pentagon has been very reluctant about this all along, from the Secretary Gates to Admiral Mullen, and you've heard them talk about how limited this action is. The military is loath to commit to a goal that can't be accomplished through military means, and clearly they believe that there's a goal here that can't be accomplished through military
and
means.
And the question that hangs over all of this is the United States, with very little debate except about the tactics of this no-fly zone, being sucked into a third war?
But there's another dimension to it, too. It's not just whether it will work in Libya or whether it's the right thing to do in Libya. But you look at Yemen and you look at Bahrain, and it's a very natural and sensible and necessary question to say, okay, so why there and not there? What are the dimensions that make this different from that? So there's operational questions that have to be asked, but there are also questions of parity and why intervention in one place where civilians are being killed is okay and not in another where civilians are being killed. As recently as Friday in Yemen, I mean, there was a massacre.
Sure. On Democracy Now!, host Juan Cole talked to Ralph Nader, who's adamantly opposed to any of our involvement in Libya.
Participating in a protest on the 8th anniversary of the Iraq invasion. Ralph Nader, in the American consciousness, because of the lack of media coverage, most people are almost forgotten. Certainly Iraq, if not Afghanistan as well, it receives little attention. The importance of this protest?
It's important because the Veterans for Peace, which start with World War II veterans all the way to the present Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, are making a powerful statement for the rule of law, for advocating peace, for getting out of Afghanistan and Iraq. If you took a poll of the soldiers in Afghanistan, as a poll was taken in Iraq in January 2005, the majority would say, let's get out of here. It's a quagmire. All we're doing are creating new enemies, slaughtering innocents, spending huge amounts of money that can be spent back home to create jobs, and violating our constitutional processes. You know, let's be very forthright, Juan. George W. Bush and Cheney committed war crimes. They had surveillance of Americans illegally. They unconstitutionally pursued wars in Asia. They slaughtered innocents, and they were considered war criminals by many people, including Republican former Judge Andrew Napolitano, author of four books on the Constitution, and Republican Bruce Fein. Now, Barack Obama is committing the same crimes, in fact, worse ones in Afghanistan. And innocents are being slaughtered. We're creating more enemies. He's violating international law. He is not constitutionally authorized to do what he's doing. He's using state secrets. He's engaging in illegal surveillance. The CIA is running wild without any kind of circumscribed legal standards or disclosure.
We have just
and
a
so
few
why
seconds.
Why don't we say what's on the minds of many legal experts, that the Obama administration is committing war crimes, and if Bush should have been impeached, Obama should be impeached.
Coming up, more on the countdown. The international no-fly zone is our focus when the Talk Radio Countdown show moves along.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, talking about what the folks on Talk Radio and Talk Television are focused on, and that includes the no-fly zone. Here, host Jack Ricciardi talked Congressman Henry Keller of Texas about the many members of Congress who are not happy with the president and his decision to get involved in Libya.
Listen, some of your colleagues seem pretty angry. I was reading about a conference call that took place led by Congressman John Larson, who's the fourth highest-ranking Democrat in the House, and people like Congressman Larson, Jerry Nadler of New York, Mike Capuano of Massachusetts, Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, are saying that the president's actions in Libya are unconstitutional. Kucinich going so far as to say, if we were willing to impeach George W. Bush over Iraq, we should be willing to impeach Barack Obama over Libya. What is your reaction to that kind of talk?
Well, you know, certainly there are some folks that feel very strongly about it. They're concerned about the fact that we're already in two wars. We're in Iraq. We're Afghanistan. Billions of dollars that we spend every month. We're also going into Japan to help with the relief effort there. There's calls also to make sure that our National Guard remain at the border, the U.S.-Mexico border. So we're stretched pretty thin, not only by the by the military, but I'm talking about also the monies that we spend. I've always said that we got to have a direct vital interest before we commit ourselves. I'm glad that the president is not going to be sending any of the ground troops over there. I hope we don't get drawn into it. And there's some folks that feel that we shouldn't even be involved in Libya at all.
What do you think? What's your take on it?
Wait, my thing is, the way the president's doing this, I think this is the right approach. We just have to be very, very careful that we don't get drawn into a long-term situation.
Well, let me ask you, Congressman.
Already spent too much money.
The president consulted the Arab League and the United Nations, but did not consult the Congress. What about that?
Well, I think, certainly, as you know, the commander-in-chief, they have certain things they can do, but then under the War Act, certainly the Congress, should be involved a little bit more, and I can tell you that if we are going to be the one that will be doing the appropriations, I think he'll be talking to us pretty soon.
Here's John, a caller in Atlanta, who thinks this is not about humanitarian aid at all. It's about OIL.
It's clearly about all. The U.S. know if they can get Obama out of there and those rebels get in there, they have no idea how to run no country. country, and they know that, and they can come in and take total control of that all. Let me ask the question. If during the Civil Rights Movement, when the U.S. government was beating these demonstrators across the head, and some country came in and said, we going
to
send
troops. For the big oil companies, the taxpayer subsidies, they prefer to start with things like education and cutting cancer research at NIH. So we have a difference of opinion as to how you best go about making cuts.
All right. Understood. I mean, those go to the basic differences in terms of smaller government, bigger government issues in a lot of ways. I want to ask you one question, really, on this $33 billion number, because John Boehner still says that there is no number that has been agreed to in the situation. But I'm so struck by the $33 billion number because it represents 0.9%, not even 1% of the federal budget. Is that enough to you to get this thing off the ground? Not even 1% in cuts?
Well, as you know, there's a lot of confusion because what the Republicans are talking about now is they're focused on a very narrow piece of the budget pie. They're not considering the tax giveaways to the oil and gas industry, and that's why we've tried,
to
expand
the taxes when the economy is in the process of recovering. That has been very clear on that.
Let's be very clear. Gas prices at the pump are at very high levels. Oil companies are making record profits. It won't change the price one penny, but it's taxpayer money essentially being transferred to the oil companies. Now, when it comes to the cuts before us, if you're looking at the part of the budget that deals with everyday operations of the federal government, people, FBI, education, health research at NIH, Homeland Security.
Coming up, more talk hosts and more members of Congress weigh in on the possibility of a government shutdown. That's next up on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
I'm Chad Hoover, Vice President with Sanofi Pasteur. We're a proud sponsor of March of Dimes, March for Babies. Helping babies was an easy decision for Sanofi Pasteur. We want to take steps to help moms have healthy pregnancies and save babies' lives. We've been a national sponsor of March for Babies for the past 3 years and will continue to help fight premature birth and birth defects. Join us and the 20,000 companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies. Start your team at marchforbabies.org.
River Point Wellness Center.
Hi, I need to cancel my appointment.
And what were you having done?
I was having a treatment on my spider veins.
Okay, and can I ask why you're canceling?
Well, I found this product that really works.
Can I ask what product?
Oh, sure. It's Vinacura. If you have frustrating spider or varicose veins, you don't have to get a treatment. Just get to your phone for a risk-free trial of Vinacura. Call 1-800-499-3227. All-natural Vinacura contains a clinically proven ingredient that visibly erases spider and varicose veins, even if you've had them for years. It even helps alleviate discomfort. The results are so impressive, people who've tried it say it's life-changing. Find out how you can try Vinacura free for 30 days and watch as your spider and varicose veins disappear from view faster than you thought possible. Call now for your risk-free trial of Vinacura. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-499-3227. 1-800-499-3227.
Fact. When pain keeps you up at night, Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM. That's because Advil PM lets you spend less time lying awake with aches and pains and helps you enjoy more time asleep. Fact. Advil PM is non-habit forming. Know the facts. When aches and pains keep you from getting the rest you need, make Advil PM your number one choice for a better night's sleep.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stop costly pump outs and repairs and remove septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome back to our Talk Countdown. Congress still seems to be at an impasse on the budget, and if they don't figure it out pretty quickly, the government will have to shut down, perhaps by Friday. Here's Talk host Frank Beckman talking to Congressman Dave Camp of Michigan about what he thinks needs to happen this week to avoid that shutdown.
You've had for a while the continuing resolution which has funded our government. Democrats did not want to put a firm budget in place before the elections last year, and so we've been living on extensions of that continuing resolution ever since. And now Republicans are saying, look, we've got to come up with a full budget to fund us, but it'll only be about a six-month budget, won't it?
Well, that's right, Frank. Last year, for the first time since 1974, neither the House nor the Senate passed a budget resolution. And so no appropriations bills, no budget last year. So this is really hangover from last year. And what it really will do is only determine the remaining 6 months of this fiscal year, which ends October 1st or September 30th. So we do need to address it. We do need to get it behind us. But, again, we haven't seen the majority in the Senate, the Democrats, put forward a bill. They haven't passed a bill. They haven't really offered a credible plan. And we do believe that reducing spending is part of what we need to do to create a better environment for job growth in this country.
Now, I think the number from Republicans is cutting $100 billion from the current, well, let's just call it a budget to put it into shorthand, okay? Is that correct?
From the president's proposed budget, yes, it ends up not being exactly that much because, part of the year has gone by already. But it is, for the first time, a real attempt to reduce spending in government. It really would represent one of the largest reductions in government spending we've ever seen. And I think many of us think it's an important thing to do to really get us back on a path. This debt is actually hurting the ability of our economy to grow. And we've had it, the President's Debt Commission reported that. We've had other independent experts come forward and say the amount of debt the United States has is actually hurting the ability of the economy to grow, and that's hurting the ability for people to find jobs. They estimate that our debt costs us about 1 million jobs.
The overall budget is what, $3-4 trillion a year? What's the exact number?
It's about four.
$4 trillion. So when you talk about $100 billion out of $4 trillion, I mean, you're talking about not even pennies on the dollar, aren't you?
Well, it's not doing anything about the significant part of our debt, which is the entitlement mandatory spending. And because it's just a carryover from last year's discretionary spending, which is only about, you know, which is only part of our, less than half of our debt, less than half of our budget. So we're really only, that's really only a stopgap what we're talking about right now. But the real proposal will come when our budget's released, which we expect this week, which will address the long-term drivers of our debt and spending. And we do have time to address these issues. But if we don't begin to act, we're making false promises to people to say that you're going to have all of these benefits if you pay into these funds over time. You're not going to have them. And I think you're going to see a budget that will really be one that will stop the empty promises, that will really attempt to give us the time we need to fix the unsustainable burden of debt that we have.
CNN's Kieran Chedry talked to Senator Chuck Schumer of New York about the deal he thinks is ready to be put into place.
There is a deal in principle, you say, to cut $23 billion, which would bring an additional $23 billion, which would bring the cuts to $33 billion total.
Right.
But House Speaker Boehner is at least publicly saying that there is no agreement on that number. Has he said in private that $33 billion is acceptable?
His negotiators are working off that $33 billion number. Speaker Boehner has said, and there's no problem, we have no problem with this, that there's no agreement on anything until there's an agreement on everything. So he's holding his fire till the whole agreement is reached. But we're making very good progress. To agree on the number, it's right in the middle, halfway between Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the Senate leader, the House leadership, Republican leadership, had asked for before the Tea Party people in the Congress, in the House, moved it way over. So it's a reasonable number.
So they may
we'll
not be agreeing to it because of pressure from the Tea Party?
Well, the Tea Party is the only thing standing in the way of an agreement, Kieran. But there's good news in a bunch of these fronts. First, as the American people have learned what the Tea Party stands for, no compromise, cuts in things like aid to help college students get to college who deserve to go to college because they have the grades, or cuts in cancer research, they say, whoa. And the Tea Party has said no compromise. That's not how our system of government works.
So
but
you,
it's good.
You,
the
you...
good news is here. The Republican leadership is already turning the page. They realize that they can't go along with the Tea Party and that the arguments that we've been making, both about the Tea Party being extreme and about where the budget should be, are going to carry the day. So they're beginning to focus on the longer term budget, the 2012
made,
budget.
Though, you're not backing down from calling them extreme, and you're highlighting now why you think that they're sort of standing in the way of getting an agreement. But couldn't the opposite argument be made that if it weren't for these 57 Tea Party members in Congress, we wouldn't be looking at
Let
many
me
cuts
tell you,
that even Erskine Bowles says have to happen if we want to get our country back on the right track?
I think the citizens who formed the Tea Party and said the government has to cut are having some effect, as they should. That's how our system works.
Right.
But our system also works, and there are many different values out there. So we want job growth. We want to get the economy growing.
Coming up, we shift the focus to Libya, looking at what ought to be done about Gaddafi. Plus, with the violence spreading in Syria and the Ivory Coast, we're about to extend our involvement to include those countries.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog who can only say, I love you. Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Listen up, ladies. Right now, Bare Minerals by Bare Essentials is inviting you to participate in a special nationwide giveaway of the mineral makeup everyone's talking about. That's right. We're letting everyone who calls try America's number one mineral makeup risk-free. Just call 1-800-507-3985 to find out how. This is an exclusive radio-only offer you don't want to miss. You've probably heard about Bare Minerals Foundation. It was quoted in Glamour Magazine as a magic eraser. Allure Magazine, InStyle, and Elle Magazine, and Leaders in Beauty continue to rave about how Bare Minerals Foundation is naturally radiant and good for your skin. Now you can participate in our nationwide giveaway and see for yourself. Bare Minerals, makeup so pure you can sleep in it. Experience the foundation that started the makeup revolution. Participate in this special opportunity to try Bare Minerals Foundation risk-free. And we'll also send you a free gift set. Just call 1-800-507-3985 now. Hurry, you don't want to miss this exclusive radio offer. 1-800-507-3985.
Men and women, do you look in the mirror and see dark circles under your eyes? Or do you have bags? Are your eyes puffy? Do you look tired all the time? Now, there's a fix for that, a cream that can help you instantly. You get it free by calling 800-894-3302. It's called Lumitone. Rub a dab of Lumitone around your eyes, and it will reduce the look of dark circles instantly. It's amazing. You look bright and refreshed in just seconds. Doesn't stop there. Lumitone has a special ingredient that eases the appearance of your puffiness and bags. Tested and approved, this stuff works. You can get started by calling 800-894-3302. Get a free bottle. You pay a small shipping and handling fee. That's it. 800-894-3302. Lumitone. Get rid of all those bags and the sad look under your eye. 800-894-3302. Ask for Lumitone.
Dear Mom and Dad, one thing I've learned in the Army is that when you're lucky enough to get a little time off, you should put it to good use. So I'm taking a moment to write and tell you that I'm fine and doing well. We have good days and bad days over here. We try to remember the good ones and get through the bad ones as best we can. Mostly we have each other, and that's what keeps us going. That and the pride of our commitment to getting the job done, whatever it takes. I miss you all very much and can't wait to get back to life as usual. Please tell everybody hello for me and that I'll be home soon. And Mom, since you asked, if anyone wants to help, just tell them to contact the USO. You can't believe how much they do for us. With love, your son, Michael.
The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. People just like you. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. From MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell talks to former CIA operative Bruce Rydell about the need to go after Gaddafi.
Let's talk about Libya and whether or not the U.S. can afford a stalemate if Gaddafi won't leave. And there are signs of signals from some of his close associates, but none from him.
Right.
It could be that he is in a very different place than even his sons and his former advisors. What happens if Gaddafi stays locked in Tripoli and this becomes a protracted standoff?
Well, we can't live with a stalemate. We can't leave Muammar Gaddafi and his thugs in Tripoli. There'll be a constant threat to the rebels in Benghazi, but worse than that, they're going to be a threat to us. We have stirred up a hornet's nest here. We didn't do it deliberately. The Libyan people started it, but we're now involved in Gaddafi has a long track record of supporting terrorism, Pan Am 103, the Berlin disco bombing. He's fully capable of doing it again. If there's a long-term stalemate, you can be sure Gaddafi will come after us.
Because he's got money, but does he have the means to come after us if he is isolated and has lost some of his closest advisors?
He'll still have associates, supporters in Europe and other places. He can rent somebody if he has to. He's been in office for four decades. He's made certain that he has residual capabilities if he has to use them.
You've been at the agency. You saw the way we operated in Afghanistan. What are these task forces, these teams doing on the ground most likely?
I think they're doing two things. One, they're trying to do close air support, trying to be ground controllers for the NATO aircraft to make sure that we bomb the bad guys and not our allies. In order to ensure there's no friendly fire incidents. That's
there
what
was over the weekend,
which happens inevitably in this kind of conflict. Their more important job, though, is to figure out who are the rebels. Are the rebels Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda wannabes? Are they genuine Democrats? Are they some mix of the above? Can we get rid of the Al-Qaeda jihadist element? Can we strengthen the hand of the democratic forces? In other words, who's who on our side in this war?
And how do we assess whether Al-Qaeda is a big player, whether there are flickers, as the NATO commander said, or something much more serious?
Well, unless you're on the ground and you're talking to the fighters and you're actually putting eyes on target, you're not going to know. There's no way to determine that from Langley and Washington. You've got to have people on the ground who speak Arabic, who understand Libya, and who can make an honest assessment. Is the Al-Qaeda element 2%? 20% or 80%. If it's 2%, we can live with it. If it's more than that, we've got a big problem.
Would you arm the rebels?
I think there's going to be a point where we have no choice but to arm the rebels. We can't leave Gaddafi where he is, and the rebels now don't necessarily need arms. They need training, instruction, and organization and discipline.
I think where you come from, that's called boots on the ground.
It's boots on the ground. But it doesn't have to be American boots on the ground. The French, the British, the Italians, it can be French Foreign Legion boots on the ground. It doesn't have to be American Marines boots on the ground.
CNN's Avi Vedishi talked to correspondent Nick Robertson in Tripoli about the latest the rebels putting up against Gaddafi forces.
What we've been hearing is that opposition troops have been forced to retreat, to rearm themselves. They're going further east and north into their controlled territory, and government troops are making inroads. What's the latest from you?
Well, there's still an offensive, a government offensive going on in Misrata, about 2 to 3 hours' drive east of here. The government confident that it can still deliver military gains on the battlefield, but I think it's interesting that at the same time they've sent a senior diplomat, a foreign minister, to talk about the possibility of a diplomat solution here. So perhaps despite the battle going on right now in the east of the country, a reality dawning here that there's only so much ground this government can take while the coalition still backs and supports the rebels, Ali.
All right, Nick, if there's this, if after all of these airstrikes and the air cover that's going in, there are points at which the rebels are losing ground, what is the next logical discussion that is going to happen, whether it's these British diplomats that you said are on the ground or a potential retreat by Gaddafi out of Libya or ground forces? What's the next thing that has to happen if this is not achieving the stated goals?
Well, it seems that the international community at least is losing the will right now to put in ground troops, and it certainly seems they're prevaricating on the issue of supplying weapons, although there may be some others going on already supplying for rebels. Certainly the international community seems to be trying to get a better and keener sense of exactly who the rebels are, how they maintain a shadow government of some sort in the east of the country, and what's the likelihood they could overthrow the regime here. While the regime makes a calculation over what are the military gains they can take on the battlefield, what concessions do they perhaps need to make to bring peace. What the rebels have called for is for Gaddafi to be removed from power. What we're hearing from sources here, very good sources, is that in the fullness of time, once this crisis is resolved, as they put it, then Gaddafi would slide away from power here. Whether both sides can be brought to agreement on what appears to be sort of not mutually exclusive paths, but still a huge gulf between them, whether they can be brought to agreement with international mediation or something else is unclear. But it does seem that at the moment there is some sort of time, it seems, for diplomacy, and whatever international diplomats can work out with rebels on the ground and the contacts perhaps that Gaddafi's officials are making in Europe right now.
Taco's Joe Pags talked about the horrific violence that is part of what's going on in the Ivory Coast and wondered why we're in Libya and why aren't we there.
Guess what's happening in Ivory Coast? 1,000 people killed? Nobody's saying anything about it. Getting very little airplay. I mean, why exactly aren't people beside themselves over what's going on in Ivory Coast, which, by the way, is also in Africa? I thought we were over there in Africa protecting people. More than 1,000 shot and hacked to death in Ivory Coast town from the AP in Johannesburg. The Roman Catholic charity Caritas says more than 1,000 people were massacred in a western Ivory Coast town. The UN mission in Ivory Coast says it has nearly 1,000 peacekeepers in Duku. I don't know how to pronounce it. But no information on the mass killing. Spokesman Patrick Nicholson told the Associated Press that Caritas workers visited the town of Duku on Wednesday. He says one neighborhood was filled with bodies of victims killed by gunshots and hacked to death with machetes. He says the workers estimate over 1,000 killed. If we're to believe that President Obama is okaying military action in Libya because of human rights violations, because we want to protect civilians, why aren't we lobbing cruise missiles into Ivory Coast? Yeah, because it's not about protecting people. It's about Obama picking sides and getting involved in a civil war to prove how tough he is. And, oh, by the way, he might be supporting, the group of rebels that includes Al-Qaeda, which, by the way, 10 years ago, did 9/11. Like it or not, man, that's what's happening. Obama did it because he thought it would be easier to take Gaddafi out of power, and he thought he could show America and the world how tough he is. Well, it turns out the rebels suck. The rebels have al-Qaeda and Hezbollah in there, and we're picking sides in a civil war. Let them fight it out, and whoever's in charge afterwards we'll talk to.
Coming up in a moment, rumors are swirling about Gaddafi. Maybe he's trying to work out some kind of a deal to leave Libya. That's up next here.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen talking about what you're talking about. Talk host Greg Jarrett here with Senator Mark Kirk about the rumor that Gaddafi is trying to work a way out.
We're getting several reports out of Libya. One of them that an envoy has been sent to Greece to talk about an exit for Muammar Gaddafi. His two sons are talking about getting him out of there. We've heard this before, and it's been met like the day after with Muammar Gaddafi's forces once again striking the rebels. What is the current situation there from your viewpoint?
Largely a stalemate between the government that controls the Tripoli area and the rebels that control the Benghazi area 600 miles to the east. I think Gaddafi is sending out feelers, but a large motivation is to distract and delay us, hoping that he can hang on.
Looking at some of the video that comes back, and I have, you know, respect for these guys. They're out on the line in these pickup trucks trying to fight trained military forces. But to be quite honest, it doesn't look like they could load a slingshot correctly, much less a high-tech weapon. And we're talking about the possibility of giving them weapons. Doesn't that also mean sending in, at the very least, like we did early in Vietnam, people to train them how to use these weapons on the ground?
Yeah, I don't think that there should be any American boots on the ground in Libya. We can do this very much with the help of our allies. And I think there is probably an allied effort, if you read between the lines on newspaper reports going on right now, that helps them with critical shortages, probably the most important being their command and control. The left wing needs to be able to talk to the right wing in when they go into battle, and that means radios and other equipment. They do have no shortage of enthusiasm or supporters, and I do think it looks pretty bleak long-term for the Gaddafi army of mercenaries.
Yeah, without some help, it's kind of tough to put a Mazda pickup truck against a tank.
It is, and my hope is that we to keep Allied air power in the game, because it will be decisive. This is not fighting in a jungle area where it's tough to see stuff. Air power in a desert environment can be utterly decisive.
Now, remind me again, Senator Kirk, why are we for the rebels? Is there some sort of backroom deal that they're going to be nicer to us than Gaddafi's been for the past 30 or 40 years?
Well, I think they're overwhelmingly in favor of the United States. Sometimes a vignette can tell you a lot about what's happening. Obviously, Libya has been very hostile to the United States and supported terror. For example, the killing of the Americans aboard Pan Am 103. If you saw, I think recently an F-15 had engine problems and crashed near Benghazi. The two U.S. air crewmen saw hundreds of Libyans coming at them, wondering what was going to happen. And as it turns out, they were coming to hug them and welcome them. The demonstrations that you see, for example, in Mukhtar Square, which is the big square in Benghazi, you'll regularly see in the background American flags in the background, because I think the people of Libya know exactly who's on their side. And that is re-emphasized by the coverage of the most important news network in this conflict, which is Al Jazeera, that has suddenly become very pro-American and is conveying a pretty strong pro-U.S. message in its support for the Libyan people.
In a talk radio interview, Alistair Wanklin talked about our involvement with NATO and just how involved we're going to continue to be with that mission in Libya.
NATO is going to be asking for American help in the future whenever the heavy lifting needs to be done, because it's only America that has assets like helicopter carriers or spies in the sky. We're told that A-10 Thunderbolts, the slow-flying gunners, fighter jets, could still be called on, Harriers, the U.S. Marine Corps Harriers fleet. These are things that NATO may still need to call on in days ahead. America is still going to be spending money there, risking service people's lives, of course. And it's all because NATO, really, although it's trying to put a sort of a multinational flag above the whole operation, it's just little bits and pieces that nations here are offering. So, for example, Sweden is sending 8 fighter jets. Belgium sent a couple of fighter jets. France has some, Italy has some, Britain has some, but there's no coordinated, it's coordinated to an extent, but there's no coherent body that's been donated by any one particular country. They're all doing little bits and pieces and hoping to share sort of the day-to-day routines, but they'll be looking to America still when the going gets tough. There's an official envoy sent out by the Tripoli regime, going to Greece, also going, I think, to Malta, so a couple of countries inside Europe, but also close to Libya. And maybe there is some kind of negotiation going on there. Certainly we've seen signs of the regime cracking. The foreign minister, former foreign minister, quit last week. He flew here to Britain, essentially defecting. There is that, of course, was played up by the British government as showing signs of decay within the Gaddafi regime. But you and I know well, as long as he has his security commanders around him still, he can cling on for a very long time.
You can find out more about all the items on the countdown by visiting the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougStephan.com.